We'll read a verse, first of all, please, in the second epistle of Paul to Timothy. The second epistle of Paul to Timothy, and we'll read in chapter 1. Second Timothy, and we'll read in verse 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Chapter 2, please, in verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Chapter 3, please, in verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Chapter 4, please, in verse 5. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Now the Lord will bless the public reading of his word to us this evening. Now you've all had a long day, and I know that if I was to tell you I'm going to speak for an hour and a half, that would have an immediate effect. You would all leave. But we'll just look very briefly tonight at some closing lessons for the day from the second epistle of Paul to Timothy. I mentioned Timothy this afternoon, and you may recall I said that he was a most unlikely candidate to be a servant of God. And yet if you look at the companions of the Apostle Paul, you will find that Timothy stuck with him longer than others. Barnabas left after the first missionary journey. Silas was God's middleman. He was the man who accompanied him on the second of his three journeys. And Timothy joined him on that journey. And then Silas laid down the baton, and Timothy took it up. And he accompanied him on the third missionary journey, and was still with him, at least travelling to Rome at the very end. Timothy stuck with him longer than anyone else. And there's no wonder about that, because if you look at the second epistle of Paul to Timothy, you will see that each chapter deals with a different thing. If you look at 1 Timothy, you'll find that the subject of 1 Timothy is the house of God. And we were thinking about that today. The subject of 2 Timothy is the man of God. And so the whole thrust of the teaching is how Timothy might be a man of God. Now look at the epistle this way. If you're ever studying a book in the Bible, by the way, before you get into the detail of it, make sure you've got the general overview and the general drift of the teaching. Or otherwise, you won't be able to see, as they say, the wood for the trees. Make sure you know where you're going, because if you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there. And make sure, as you take the book, that you get an overview. Now, here's a little overview of the first or the second epistle to Timothy. Chapter 1, it's power for the man of God. Do you see what it says? He says, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Chapter 1 is power for the man of God. And then when we come into chapter 2, it's pictures for the man of God. And there are a number of pictures. There's the picture of a soldier, and there's the picture of a farmer, and there's the picture of an athlete, and there's the picture of a workman, and there's the picture of a great house. Pictures for the man of God. Then when you turn to chapter 3, it's predictions for the man of God. Do you see what it says in chapter 3? This know also that in later days, the last days, don't think that is just the days before the rapture, that's days later than when Paul wrote, that in later days some shall depart, in perilous times shall come. Predictions for the man of God. And of course, if you know chapter 4, you know what I'm going to say. It's preaching for the man of God in chapter 4. So you've got the outline of the epistle. Power, pictures, predictions, and preaching for the man of God. Now, there's a little outline, but I don't intend to develop it that way tonight. You can just tuck that under your belt and keep it and look at it and see if it's right. Because one thing you've got to do after a conference is go home, get a hold of your Bible, and make sure that all these brethren have been teaching you the right things. Go and check out what they've been saying. And if you don't agree with them, you come and mention it to them tomorrow, and don't tell them I told you to do it, by the way. You know, just say that you've had this great exercise to do it, and you don't agree with the ministry. What they'll probably say to you, well, if you're one of the young brethren, well, next time you have a go and see if you can do any better. But nevertheless, there's a little outline. Now, what I want to look at is this tonight. And we won't be very long. We'll just be about 2.5 hours, Scottish hours. And they're longer than Canadian hours. But what we want to do just is to look at something that Paul emphasizes to Timothy. He emphasizes to Timothy how he has to be wholehearted in the service of the Master. And I want you to see he does it by speaking about four full things, one in every chapter. Now, the first one we read in chapter 1. He says this, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Now, if you come to the Bible reading tomorrow morning, and I look forward to seeing you all there, if you come to the Bible reading tomorrow morning at the late hour of 10 o'clock, you will be able to find out a little about the gift of God. But all I want to say tonight is that when Paul said that, what he actually wrote was this. I will put thee in remembrance that thou stir up into full flame. Stir up into full flame. Now you're probably saying, well, that means that Timothy had let the flame go out. And Paul is saying, stir it up. Now I don't know if you still have coal fires over here. But if you have a coal fire, you stir it up before the flame goes out. And what Timothy is being told here by Paul isn't to stir up something that has gone out, but to keep burning something that is already burning. So he says, Timothy, I want you to keep burning something that's already burning. And what is it? It is the gift of God. Now listen, all you young believers, all have been gifted of God to do something. And you've got to keep it alive. Stir it up. Now, if you want to know how you can ascertain what your gift is, come to the Bible reading tomorrow morning. And I'll be saying that over and over again. But you have to stir up into full flame and keep alive the gift of God that's been given to you. Now, Timothy was, naturally speaking, a very retiring kind of individual. For instance, if you look down the chapter, you'll find this. Here I go. We'll never get out of chapter 1 if we do this. But he tells Timothy he's not to be ashamed. Look, for instance, and you will see that he says in verse 8, be now therefore ashamed. And then he says in verse 12, nevertheless, I am not ashamed. And then he says in verse 16, Onesiphorus was not ashamed. Three times over, being ashamed. So here's how Paul tackles the whole problem. He says to Timothy, first of all, from verse 8 to verse 11, don't be ashamed, but participate. And then he says, from verse 12 to verse 14, don't be ashamed, but be persuaded. And then he says, from 15 to 18, don't be ashamed, but be proven, a proven servant. Now, how is it that you're not ashamed, that you participate, that you are not ashamed and you're persuaded in your own mind as to the truth of God and you're a proven servant? You do it by keeping the gift of God alive. Now how do you keep something alive? You keep it alive by using it. That's how you keep it alive. If I was to decide I was never going to use an arm or a leg or something like that, if you came back in 2 years' time, it would still be there, but it would have lost the power to use it. And so he says, keep it alive by using it. And I want to make sure that at the end of this conference season, you all decide to use the gift that God has given you. Now, you young brethren, how do you do that? I trust you're baptized in an assembly fellowship. Well, just remember that we expect to hear your voice occasionally in prayer. Because prayer isn't a spiritual gift, you know. Prayer is something that we all do. And you've got to develop your spiritual gift as well as making your voice to be heard. You young sisters have spiritual gift as well. You've been given gift by God. And you've got to use it. And you've got to come to the Bible reading tomorrow morning to find out what your gift is if you don't know what it is. Right? So there you are. You say, I don't know what my gift is. Well, if the Lord will, you'll know in 12 hours, 15 minutes. So there you are. So you can have an exciting night wondering about what it's going to be. What gift am I going to have? You know, some of you think you're going to come tomorrow morning and find you're going to be the best evangelist that's ever been. Instead of that, you're going to find that your gift is something completely different. Nevertheless, keep it in full flame, he says. Make sure that you stir it up. Make sure that you don't let the embers die down through misuse. If a fire is burning and you don't keep poking it, you go away, it dies out. Now, we're going to leave that now. Now, come over with me, please, into chapter 2. Now, what is it in chapter 2 you've got to have? If it's a full flame in chapter 1, it's a full faith in chapter 2. You've got to have a full faith. And he says this, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. In other words, lose nothing of the faith. Now, how do you know the faith? We will see later in this book, you know the faith by, of course, studying the scriptures. But I just want to point out one or two of the things that the apostle tells us we've got to do if we would seek to keep a full faith. He says, for instance, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, and no man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this world. You know what that means? To become, he said, if you're going to keep a full faith, don't become entangled with the affairs of this life. Now, do you know what that word entangle means? It means to be knitted in. I don't know if any of you sisters knit your own socks or anything like that. I don't suppose in Canada you do that kind of thing. We don't really do it in Scotland anymore. We used to have a brother who came to visit us, and he always sat down and knitted a pair of socks while he was there. He was very good at it as well, and he even wore them. He could do a pair a night. He even left me a pair, you know. I gave them away to missionaries, but nevertheless. Now, you see, the problem is, if you've got a little bit of thread attached to your wool and you don't know it, it becomes knitted in, becomes part of the pattern. Now, you see what Paul's saying here? He's saying this, don't become knitted into the things of this world. Don't become part of them. Now, young believers, keep that in mind. Keep separate from the world. Don't become part of it. You've got to be in it. You've got to have a job, you've got to have a career and that kind of thing. At least the career for you young brethren will be to go and get a job and keep, if you get married, your wife's. Once your wife gets married you, I was going to say once your wife gets married, but once your wife marries you and a family comes along, she's got her career mapped out. It's in the house. It's in the house, looking after the children. That's her career, you see. And so you've got your career. There it is. But you see, don't become entangled with the things of this life. Don't become all knitted in together with them. Don't do that. Because, says Paul, the soldier on active service in a Roman colony never became involved with the things of the city. He was in it, but separate from it. So, I suppose over that you could say there's a need for fervency. A need to be fervent. I'm not going to go down all these pictures, or else it would be 2.5 hours. But do you notice, please, that he says in verse 5, if a man strive for the masteries, he's not crowned except he strive lawfully. There's a need not only for fervency, but he says in verse 5, there's a need for fidelity, for faithfulness. You've got to strive according to the rules. If you want to keep the faith, you have to strive according to the book. And you have to strive according to the rules. Don't break the rules. You know, there have been athletes, and of late, I've been reading in the newspapers, they've been breaking the rules. They've not been striving lawfully. And because of that, the prize gets taken away. Now, says Paul, make sure there is fidelity about your actions. So, as a soldier, fervent. As an athlete, fidelity. Faithfulness as an athlete. And he's got some other pictures. Look at verse 6. The husbandman that laboureth must be first partakers of the fruit. There's a need for activity. The farmer labours. He goes out to labour. Now, I can tell you that is true. I don't know if there's any farmers here. I was staying in the north of Ireland about a year ago in the house of a farmer, away in the middle of nowhere. I was told that to get there, you went to the end of the world and then you kept travelling. And it was absolutely right. And we got there, and I learned that that farmer started work every morning at 5:30. You know how I learned? right through the wall in the room I was sleeping in, and the bed was hard up against the wall, was for the milking machine. And it started up every morning at 5:30, and I thought the Lord had come. Well, the whole house started shaking, and things jumping about. And you know, when I told them about it, he said, it's quite right, it keeps the cows contented. He was more worried about the cows than the creature. And 5:30 to 9:30, he was active, and he was working. You see, the husband and the laborer, what be activity? Now, I only want to look at one other picture, and it's the picture that he gives us down there in verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Here's the workman. Now, some of you have heard me on about this workman before, I know that. I like this workman. I like all workmen like this. I'll tell you what the picture is. The picture is of a Greek apprentice. And you see, in these days, in order to become a master craftsman, you were an apprentice, and after 7 years, supposing you were going to be a cabinet maker, after 7 years, you sat an exam to become a master craftsman. And you know what the exam was? The exam was that you produced a masterpiece. And the masterpiece was the piece you made to prove you were a master craftsman. And then you took it to your master, and your master had a little fire burning, and in the fire he had two branding irons. And he looked at your furniture, and he lifted it up, and he looked at it, and he examined it, and you stood with bated breath, because he was about to pass judgment. And he went to the fire, and he had two branding irons. One had on the end the Greek letter Delta, stood for the word Dokimos. And the other had on it the Greek letter Alpha. That stood for A or A Dokimos. And he looked with wonder. What one would he pick up? If he picked up with the one with the D, your heart leapt. You were a master craftsman. Because he had stamped it Dokimos, approved. Approved. If, however, he picked up the one with Alpha or A on it, he had stamped it A Dokimos, disapproved. Now, says Paul, study. That doesn't mean study in the sense of reading. Be energetic, be diligent, to show thyself approved unto God. Make sure at the end of life, your work is stamped with a D. Approved unto God. A workman who does not need to cast his eyes down in shame. And how do you become a workman who doesn't need to cast his eyes down in shame? You rightly divide the word of truth. Now what does that mean? To rightly divide the word. It doesn't mean to cut it up into sections and to put little headings over it. To rightly divide, let me tell you how the Greeks used that word. If you ladies, for instance, were in your kitchen and you had a loaf and you cut a straight slice, you were rightly dividing the bread. If any of you fellas were a bricklayer and you built a wall and it was nice and straight, it was a wall that was rightly divided. If you were a ploughman and you ploughed a straight furrow, your furrow was rightly divided. It meant simply, well done. A job well done. A job correctly executed. So how do you become a workman in the service of God? You do it by handling correctly. That's what the word means, the scriptures. You rightly divide the word of truth. And so when the master comes along and looks at your work and stamps it, you want it to be stamped with a D, approved. And then, you see, you accomplish that by rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, we'll get the rest to do in 2 or 3 minutes. Can I tell you a little secret? I sometimes do that. My wife put me in a diet. You can see it was very successful. I had to lose £2 a week. Now, I don't mean money. You don't have pounds here. You've got dollars. But I had to lose £2 a week over 10 weeks. And you know, over 5 weeks, that was £10. And you know, about a week back, Wednesday night, was the end of the test. I was to be weighed to see if I'd lost £10. And I remember on Wednesday morning, thinking to myself, because I hadn't lost any weight, by the Wednesday morning, 10 weeks on, and one day to go, I began to doubt whether I would make it or not. And by 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I had serious doubts as to whether I'd make it or not. And by 5 o'clock at night, I was beginning to think I wouldn't make it. And as a matter of fact, you see, I'm now on a diet again.
And this is another 5 week one. I have to lose 3 pounds a week, and in the last week I've gained a pound, so I'm going the wrong way. And at the end of the day, I'm going to be disapproved. It's going to misstamp with the A. Now do you see, it's a job not well done. Not well done at all. But here, Paul says, make sure you do the job well and handle correctly the scriptures. Now we've got to go on. Look please at chapter 3. Chapter 3, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now do you see that word there, thoroughly furnished? Do you know what that means? Fully fitted out. Fully fitted out. Now you're beginning to build up. In chapter 1, it's a full flame. In chapter 2, it's a full faith. In chapter 3, it's a full fitting. Fully fitted out. Now let me tell you what the picture is. I live in a part of Scotland that is a great shipbuilding tradition. You may not be aware of it, but you're going to be aware of it in a minute or two. But 100 years ago, 80% of the world's shipping was built in the River Clyde. 80% of the world's shipping was built in the River Clyde. I think it's probably 0.00008% now. But then it was 80% of the world's shipping. And you know, they launched a ship, but when they launched the ship, it wasn't fit for passengers. It has to be fitted out. Now the word that Paul uses here is the word the Greeks used of fitting out a vessel. Now he says, the man of God's got to be fitted out. Now how are you fitted out for service? How does God fit you out? You say, fitted out for service. How does God fit you out? You say, oh well, I get fitted out by practicing or by making sure I control my feelings and all that kind of thing. Well, says Paul, I'll tell you how you're fitted out. Do you see what he says? All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Look at verse 15. From a child thou hast known the holy scriptures or the sacred letters. Do you know what Paul is saying there? He says, Timothy, when you were a child, your mother taught you to write by tracing the sacred letters. He was taught to write by tracing out the scriptures. Now, says Paul to Timothy, I want you to be fully fitted out for service. I don't want young believers to leave this conference without being fully committed to fitting themselves out for service. Now, how are you fitted out for service? You're fitted out for service by getting to know the scriptures. Now, I want to tell you something that you must know. Getting to know the scriptures isn't it just for preachers. Getting to know the scriptures is for everybody. Young brethren, how long do you spend studying the scriptures? Young sisters, how long do you spend studying the scriptures? It's not enough just to read a verse or two a day. Now you say, I don't have time. I've got to work. I've got to do this. Of course you have. But find the time. If you look for it, you'll find it. It may be you have to get up an hour and a half earlier in the morning. The best time to study the scriptures is any hour before 6 o'clock in the morning. Nobody's around. I can tell you nobody's around. There's not a lot of folk phoning you at 5 o'clock in the morning. There's not a lot of folk knocking on your door at 5 o'clock in the morning. That's the best time. They only phone me in the middle of the night. A folk from Canada that forget that there's a time difference. And it's nice when they 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, they phone you up and they say, good evening, it's a lovely evening, isn't it? You say, no, it's not a lovely evening, it's a rainy morning and it's 3 o'clock. But bless, you see what you're learning here. Scripture. Now get into the scriptures. Says Paul to Timothy, I want you to be fitted out. Get to know the scriptures. Listen, you should be spending time studying the word of God. I don't propose to tell you tonight how to do it, but get into the book, because you'll never be anything for God. You'll be a spiritual ignoramus. You'll be a spiritual lightweight. You'll be just the kind of person who follows any charismatic teaching. And I mean by charismatic, I mean attractive kind of teaching. So says Paul here, be fully fitted out that the man of God may be perfect, complete, thoroughly fitted out unto all good works. So how do I fit myself unto all good works? That is every work that's good. By studying the scriptures, get to know them. And don't ever just think it's for preachers. One of the things that we are in danger of losing is this very thing. Don't let, if you think it's only for preachers, they'll turn almost into a clerical class. and you'll fall into the error of thinking that they won't know more than you know. It's surprising how little preachers know at times. And make sure you know as much of them. Get into the book. Read the scriptures. Study the scriptures. Spend time in the scriptures. And I want this to be the lesson tonight, because this is why I go to 2 Timothy. Make sure you get to know this book. And I want you young brethren to get into it. Reading it, studying it. Buy yourself one or two good helps. A good word study New Testament. Forget all these books with all the wee footnotes. Now get your own footnotes. Get your own notes. Get into having a good concordance, a good Wigram's concordance, a good word study New Testament to tie in with it. And get to know the book, and get to know the words, and get to know and get stuff for yourself. And I tell you, every little bit of truth you get, you'll absolutely jump with joy about it, that God has given you that. So, thoroughly fit yourself out. You'll allow me another 5 minutes. You've got no choice, you've got to. Thoroughly fit it out unto all good works. Keep it that. And keep it the study of the scriptures. And don't be just a spiritual lightweight. And don't be the kind of individual. Sometimes when you go into a home, it never happens in Canada, I'm sure, but you sit down and folks are talking about young people, about motor cars and about skiing and all that kind of time-wasting stuff. You know, don't be tied up with all that kind of stuff. Get into the scriptures so that if I come and visit you and I say, how about 2 Timothy, you don't say a nice wee look and say, would you like a cup of tea and would you like to go quick? You know? You see, you want to study the scriptures. And can I tell you what happens when you study the scriptures? You'll find this, that they become addictive. And you'll find you can't get away from them. And you'll find that you're feeding them. And you'll find that a day spent without looking at this book becomes a wasted day. It has a strange, pulling, addictive power. There's a reservoir of truth in scripture that eternity won't exhaust. And you won't exhaust it in your life. But if you want to get to know God, and if you want to get to know Christ, and if you want to serve the Master, you get into the book. And make sure you're not the type of Christian whose last experience of God in your life is the day you get saved. Make sure you get into this book. Says this man, study to show thyself, approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth, and then that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly fitted out. I want you all sailing out of Vancouver with all the furniture in. I don't mean to take this stuff away. I mean the spiritual furniture. And I want to make sure that the fitting out process starts at the conference. Some of you have maybe even started it already. Praise God for that. But leave the conference and make sure that all the carpenters and plumbers and electricians are on board, fitting you out from the word of God. Make sure that happens. Right, let's look at chapter 4. Watch thou in all things, verse 5, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Make full proof. Do you know what that says? Fully fill up. Here's a full filling. So we've got a full flame, a full faith, a full fitting, and then a full filling. Now what is he saying here? He's saying this. Watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, bring to full measure all your ministry. In other words, he's saying to Timothy, you get more than one gift. Make sure you neglect none of them. Bring to full measure every area of activity. Make sure that every area of spiritual activity in which you engage is filled up to full measure. Now listen. If you're going to be for anything for God, you'll need to work at it. God gives nothing to lazy Christians. The laziest kind are folks that only ever listen to preachers and do nothing about it from the book. Spoon-fed. Now, to bring to full measure every area of activity, and I'm coming back to it now, you're going to have to find time to get into the book and find time to work out whatever service God has given you. That means you're going to have to sacrifice. It means that you're going to have to concentrate on this. A lot of things young people can get involved in today, all perfectly legitimate, not sinful, but listen, I want to share something with you. You don't just do something because it's not sinful. I want you to see, to remember this, that the question to ask in everything you do is not what's wrong with it, but what profit is there in it? What's right with it? What is it profiting me? And you can spend your time and fritter it away and do all sorts of things. Folks say to me, but what about relaxation? Oh, I think you should have relaxation. I think you should spend hours relaxing. Tracking is great relaxation. Great relaxation. Nobody believes in it. Try it. Studying the scriptures is great relaxation. Try it. Now, says the apostle here, bring every area of your activity to full frame. I've got to finish. These full things, fill it all up. Keep it all going. You know, there was a man, and he deserted Paul at the end of life, called Demas. He loved the world. You see, the world that he loved wasn't the evil, sinful, sodden world. It was the world of the nice things, the pleasant things. And they pulled them away. Ah, says Timothy. Says Paul to Timothy here, keep everything in full flame. I suppose you could speak about firing in all cylinders. Presume your cars are the these over here as well, bigger ones than maybe we've got. But firing in all cylinders. Now, don't you know, my wife said to me, she always says, when something, the car's making a funny noise. Well, a funny noise can mean a lot of things. And she said a couple of weeks ago, the car's making a funny noise. Well, I usually leave it for a week or two, and if she keeps saying it, I know there's something wrong. A funny noise might go away. But she says, it's making a funny noise. And so when I came back from some meetings, I got in and I drove, and she said, it's not going very fast. It's absolutely all right, 50 miles an hour. It was making a funny noise. Try that in the motorway and see how you get on. And you know what it was? It wasn't firing in one cylinder. So the man in the garage told me. And because it wasn't firing in one cylinder, he was telling me this. I thought it was very interesting. He says, you've got four cylinders. When you're not firing in one of them, he says, you lose about 40% of your power at times. You see, you lose more than just the one cylinder. In other words, you become almost just half effective. And you slow up. Keep firing in all cylinders. That's all I've got to say. But remember this. Keep the gift in full flame. Keep a full faith. And then in chapter 3, be fully fitted out. And then keep everything in full measure so that the Lord Jesus might be honored and glorified. And you all know what you've got to do now. Get into this book. Get into it and study it and read it. And you'll find in it what will fit you out for the service of Christ so that you'll know how to serve the Master. We just have a word of prayer now. Father, we do thank thee for all thy goodness today, for every blessing. We thank thee that thou art gracious and kind, and for every mercy we have enjoyed and will enjoy. We vow to thank thee now. We thank thee for the Saviour. We thank thee for the ability to be fully fitted out. Help us to go in for the things of Christ. And help us to seek to make sure that everything is fanned into flame and that we are ardent in service for what we have enjoyed, for what we will enjoy, materially, physically and spiritually. We bless thee tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.